Fish at 6, Cowboys trade deadline frenzy, straight dope, no bullsh. That's what you're going to get here. I'm Mike Fisher, your trusty and trust reporter. There's the six bongs on the wall. If you wake and bike. And Sugar is here. And so is Jim Laws, Tony Fisher, Broken Halo, and 76,000 fish heads in Cowboy Nation who can't be wrong. I'm going to start out with not a defense of Jerry Jones, but just to paint a portrait of what's gone on here. We've beaten up Jerry Jones pretty good for weeks, months, years, and in the last 24 hours, including last night, where all day Monday in Arlington was about Jerry being on stage. Let's hang out with Stephen A. Smith and let's talk publicly about trades when we probably shouldn't. And then let's have Stephen A. Smith in an owner's sweat. It was all showbiz. I didn't like it because, as I've said many times, sometimes Jerry Jones's Cowboys seem like a marketing company that plays football on the side, and there's not room to do both. But in the last 24 hours, Jerry Jones's Cowboys did indeed find room to do both. I don't think it works tomorrow. I don't think it's worked for 30 years. I don't think it'll work for the next 30 years. But in the last 24 hours, okay, fine. It worked. Let's get into this. What'd the Cowboys do? How did it work? What didn't they do? Who's the winner? Who's the loser? We'll do this with your comments, questions, and criticisms. Get in, get on, be good. Bring something of intellect to the table. Only 5 slappies allowed per program. And as always, the evening program driven by my friends at Honda Cars of McKinney and BMW of McKinney. Here we go. 10 takes on today's movement. Item number one, the first step, as the saying goes, is admitting you have a problem. The Dallas Cowboys just used the Tuesday deadline to announce that they have an illness. And they latched on to a potential cure. That's a fair way of doing this. I'm seeing media, national media people, nationals and casuals saying, well, yeah, but if you add up, they got Mazi and then they traded Micah and then they got this and they got that. They don't come out ahead. You're going to include drafting Mazi as part of this formula? I told you yesterday they were trying to dump Mazi. I was right. You're going to do the Quinnen Williams trade through the prism of saying that Mazi in 2022 was a bad pick? That's not fair. So let's analyze and criticize this thing, evaluate this thing fairly. They recognize they have an illness and they sought a cure. They make a pair of deadline moves. The all-pro defensive tackle, Quinnen Williams. We all know him from the New York Jets. And then they do the morning deal. How are we looking, Sugar?
You look better.
What?
You have looked better.
Because of my jacket?
Well, it's probably because of the Cardinals hoodie, but it got a little fuzzy.
A little fuzzy.
And it's okay.
All right, we're going to battle through.
It's fine.
Thank you. And then in the morning, they do the deal for Logan Wilson in exchange for a 7th-round pick. The Logan Wilson thing is free. Anybody that's complaining about the Logan, and they are, nationals and casuals. How could you? He got benched, which isn't entirely true. For the worst team, defensive team, how's that going to make you better? Because he'll make you better. Because he's better than the players here. That's how he'll make you better. Why are we making this so hard? Item two. Can this tandem fix a Cowboy defense that ranks in the bottom 3 or so in every category on NFL defense? Especially in the case of giving up a 7th-round pick, but we're gonna juggle with the giving up the 1 and the 2 as well. As Bugs Bunny used to say, it couldn't hurt. So Dallas gets Williams in exchange for a 2026 2nd-round pick, a 2027 1st-round pick, and Mazi. don't you can't fairly calculate. They gave up a first round player in Mozzie. No, they didn't. They gave up a bust. And I told you yesterday, he was a healthy scratch because they're trying to trade him. You can't count that. They're trying to dump him. The first round pick in 2027 will be the higher of Dallas's two that season, either the Cowboys own or the Packers. I had a conversation with somebody today, said, oh no, that's going to be a really high. I don't know what it's going to be in 2027. You don't know that. We don't know that. Cowboys aren't planning on being bad in 2026. And so the 2027 pick will be top 10. That's not the plan. The plan is to rescue what they could from the Micah disaster. And as Smith fan points out with a $5 pitch into the Super Chat, they haven't had a defensive tackle this good since Leroy Glover. And under Parcells, they became a premium defense at that time. We've done this exercise. When was the last time the Cowboys had a candidate for best defensive tackle in the league guy? And we bring up Leroy Glover. He was a candidate. And I mean, I got to go back to Randy White. Not even Tony Casillas, Russell Maryland was quite that. So in terms of grabbing a talent, this is as good as it gets in the NFL. And if you're criticizing it, you're probably just doing it because you got Hardy for Jerry. You just want to make fun of Jerry. Interestingly, when the Cowboys were shopping Micah, if you recall, they called the Jets and asked about Quinnen Williams, and it just didn't come together, and then the Packers thing did. So this organization has liked Quinnen Williams for a long time, and what's not to like? I think wasn't he the third overall pick in his draft? 2019, Alabama, third overall pick, great pedigree, first team All-Pro in 2022, had 12 sacks that year, and has played more than just defensive tackle. Item five, he's 28, he doesn't come cheap. Signed through 2027, set to make $21 million next year, $25 million the year after that. And I'm going to get to the dollars in a minute. But do know that on the plus side, item six, Dallas has contractual control here. I told you, Trey Hendrickson, if you're just going to rent him. You have a first-round pick or whatever, Hendrickson, and then he leaves, and you get a third compensatory pick? That's stupid. So make sure that these deals, aren't just about 2025, because 2025 might be lost. Make sure that there's a long-term plan here. Douglas Sloan, Wilson is a middle linebacker. Williams has done all kinds of things on the defensive line. But it's important what they did here in the right way. They didn't do two trades for a 2025 emergency. This is about a long-term look as well. This season, by the way, the numbers. Williams, 32 total tackles, 3 forced fumbles, 7 tackles for loss. He's got a sack. His grade, if you believe Pro Football Focus, his grade is as high as it gets as a run stopper. He's got an elite grade as a player and the best in the league as a run stopper. Item 7, Wilson is 29, a tackling machine. This much is true. As I say, middle linebacker. He was being phased out in Cincinnati. They have 2 kids they like. That doesn't mean he sucks. He's not that far removed from being a centerpiece guy on a Bengals defense that went to a Super Bowl and 2 AFC championship games. How many of those guys you got on this roster? How many Super Bowl players you have on this roster? Like, none? Help me out here. How many guys on the Cowboys roster have played in a Super Bowl? I haven't thought of that question before. I think it's none. Also, as a playmaker, because the Cowboys have problems with their defensive front, with getting in the gap, with getting to the gap and filling the gap. He does that. And he's a playmaker. The leading interceptor among middle linebackers. Last 5.5 years, he's got 11 interceptions. Nobody can match that. He's a playmaker. Item 8. The Cowboys are a very humble 3-5-1. North Philly says Paris Campbell. Paris Campbell still hanging around here? I don't think he's... Is he on the 53-man roster? Does that count? How about Cowboys who actually get to get their uniform dirty? Cowboys are 3-5-1. I don't hear them really saying, we're a playoff contender. I hear Dak Prescott saying, now it's do or die every week. So I don't think they're fooling themselves. But in-house, one of the reasons you do these deals is there is the belief, not Monday night, but generally that the Dak Prescott-led offense is good enough to win games in December and beyond with even middling support from the defense. A couple of you guys, including Tony H, have called about Asante Samuel. He is now, you know, he's been hurt and rehabbing this whole time. He has now apparently announced that he's healthy and ready to go. I'm 100% interested in Asante Samuel. And the Cowboys should be too. A lot of people, somebody messaged me today, I'm hearing they got Minka. Is it true or not? And I'm like, no, it's not true. They got Minka. Well, I heard a lot of people on the radio, I don't care what you heard. The Cowboys scouting department likes Minka. But I do know that this is a perfect example of what can happen. And when I talk about winning the trade, I don't know what the Cowboys did on Breece Hall. I know what the league did. D. Graham, these guys are here for multiple years, right? Right. They're here through 2027. Teams were calling on Breece Hall and offering a 4. And the Jets said, we need a 3. And team said no. So the Cowboys surely did that. I bet you they did it on Minka. We'll offer you this. Dolphins said, no, we need this. Cowboys said, that's too steep. That's okay. You get to make that decision. Just make that call. Jangly, after today, depending on who Dallas drafts, I think they're 85% to winning the Micah trade. Also, F your sweatshirt. Yeah, I know. I was chilly. No, actually, don't you think the Cardinals deserve a tribute for what they did to you last night? Item 9. These two moves. Bill Elliott, this doesn't really make you mad. Are we just joking around? It really makes you mad? All right. I'm not sure. I was just chilly. I'm not trying to make anybody mad. Hold on. Boop, 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 doop, doop. Do, 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 do. Trash it! I had no idea that the Cardinals would invoke such passion. There, Cowboy Blue. Yeah! That'll help. These moves mark a real effort. True Texan. F that hoodie. It's gone. I'm throwing the trash can. I'll never wear it again. But you got to admit, you like the hat. Six Wheel. Fish, great job calling out the Jerry Circus the last couple of days. Every once in a while, I still hear it. Fish, you're Jerry's back pocket boy. That was a joke that we used to tell on the radio 30 years ago. To his face, on this show, in print, I say what I want to say about Jerry Jones. With no negative ramifications, except sometimes he yells at me or disagrees with me or whatever's me. They're not taking away my credential because I disagree with Jerry Jones. I'm not on Jerry Jones's payroll. I would be. If the Cowboys want to pay me enough, I would work for the Cowboys, wouldn't you? It'd be fine. But I don't work for the Cowboys. I don't work for Jerry Jones. I have my affection for him, and I disagree with him all the time. Somebody said, why don't you disagree with him in a press conference? And I'm going to explain how that works someday. Because I know that some people in the audience like that. Because you want to watch a train wreck. Okay? I'm trying to do journalism. I'm not trying to get in an argument with Jerry Jones just so my boss or my wife can see me on TV. I'm trying to get answers. It's not about my question. It's about their answers. You see? The Cowboys allow 143 rushing yards a game. That's fourth worst in the NFL. Wilson might help that. Williams is guaranteed to help that. Item 10. Greg Snell, Fish, you don't even ask questions in the press conference. All right, fine. I'm gonna tell you. You got me. I have, of course, over the years asked questions in press conferences. I have over the years gotten arguments. The most famous one was with Jimmy. And I had written in the newspaper I guess it was the Friday before the Saturday draft, that the Cowboys were trying to get the Florida State cornerback who ended up going to Green Bay, that they were trying to trade up to the fifth spot. And I had it nailed. It was a fact. The next day they drafted, I believe, Kevin Smith, friend of the show, Pup. And Jimmy Johnson calls me out in the press conference and says, yeah, there's a report, an official report that we wanted this guy. We never wanted this guy. Gosh, Buckley. We didn't want Buckley. We wanted Pup. And I mean, he's calling me out in the press conference. So I stood up and said, you're wrong. So I've gotten in arguments with in the press conference before. It's happened. It's not my style to get in an argument with the press conference because I recognize that the reason most people do it, same reason most people ask questions in the press conference, not most, some, because they want to justify their presence there. They want their boss or their mom or their sister to, did you see me on TV? I asked a question. I asked Coach the question. I've been on TV for 40 years. I don't care about being on TV. My voice has been on the radio for 40 years. I'm not interested in that. The origin of why I don't ask, this goes way back. Why don't I ask Stephen a question in the press conference? The origin of it is, why don't I ask Michael Irvin or Dez Bryant a question in front of everybody? Because I don't want to ask my question in front of everybody. Because I want to go around the corner with Michael Irvin or Troy Aikman or Dez Bryant or George Pickens, like I did the other day, and I want to ask my question one-on-one. So the only person that knows their answer to my question is me. So why don't you ask questions at the press conference? Because I don't need to. That's why. And then the other thing that's happened now, what question needs to be asked? You know, there's Machota, there's Todd, there's Clarence, there's Calvin. If I'm at a press conference someday and I'm like, can't believe those four guys haven't asked the question. I better ask it. Then I would. But hey, coach, you know, what are you going to do? What's the injury report today? Why do I need to ask that question? One of those four guys is going to ask that question. So that's why I don't stand up at the press conference and say, Mike Fisher, Shoddy. Because somebody else is going to do it for the most part. I don't need the attention. And if I want to know, for instance, the fact that they're trading, that they were trying to trade Mozzie. Okay, I've known that for 3 days. You think I should ask that in a press conference? Why should I tell everybody else the answer when I'm the only one that has it? That's why I don't ask a million questions in press conferences. That's why. Item 10. So you got Kenny Clark here, acquired in the Parsons trade. You got Osa here. And now you got Quinnen. Shoddy said today, you know, we could use more five-man fronts. We could play all three of them, which you could do to some degree. They're all going to play. There's room for all of them. True Texan, $5 pitching. If we don't have the money to sign Pickens, why not move him today? It's complicated, but I'll do it quickly. They don't move him today because they think he can help them win. The locker room would not have liked moving him today. You can afford to sign him. Absolutely, you can. But if you end up not signing him, you could also franchise tag him, which is a version of signing him at $28 million. And if he does leave, you can get a compensatory pick as high as a number three. That's why they didn't trade George Pickens. Clark, Osa, and now Quinnen. And Quinnen can absolutely be a force to help, not repair the entire defense, to help the defense. Quiet Wyatt, Fish, you missed my pitch in. I got True Texan. I'm glad I did. Quiet Wyatt, Fish, do you think we get back to round two? $5 pitch in. I don't know what you mean, round two. Oh, about drafting a cornerback. Is that what you, are we talking about the draft? Yeah, I'm not ready to, I have no idea on the draft. What I know is there are still ways to help yourself at cornerback. I assume the Cowboys certainly looked at safeties and cornerbacks. They're so thin at safety. And gosh, darn him, Marquise Bell, wonderful guy, try hard guy, special team, can't cover. Can't cover anybody. So they still need help on that level. But let's not be angry at the Cowboys because they added an incredible defensive lineman, a good linebacker, and son of a B, they didn't get a defensive back. They did well. They did well. And part of what they did here was an admission, trying to spark a turnaround for a playoff push, but also long-term help. They admitted that their defense is sickly and desperate for a cure. By some measures, I saw this number today, Dallas has only a 7% chance of making the playoffs. That seems low. I don't know. I was sitting with some guys today, and we were kind of going through. You know, you got the division winners, and you got, you know, you do have five teams that might be better than I don't know. 7% seems low. If that's true, as the Cowboys are reaching for this magic potion, this antidote to what ails them, let's hope that they didn't just trade for two sugar pills and fish. No.